It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We begin our study today in the book of John in chapter 16 and verse 16. The Bible says, and Jesus speaking, "A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Well, this seems somewhat like a paradox. He's in the same sentence there telling these people that they're not going to see him. And then he says, then you will see me. Well, he's telling them that he's going to the cross and he's going to be buried and he's going to resurrect and he's going back to the Father. They will not see him. But then he says, then you will see me. Well, he's coming back. One day the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ will come back to this earth and he will set up his kingdom. We talked about that in the last lesson. But as we look at that, Jesus Christ is speaking to these people here and now. And it was hard for them to understand what Jesus was saying. And you know, there are some things that we don't understand as we study the Word of God. But the more we study and the more we get into it, the more we pray and ask God to lead us, the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth and help us to understand more fully what God has for us in His Scriptures. Well, notice here that He says, I'm going to go away, and that's what He's trying to help His disciples to know here, that He is going away. He's going to be crucified. Now, He didn't tell them here that He was going to be crucified, but He's told them in preceding chapters that He would be lifted up, and that meant that He would be crucified. He says, I'm getting ready to go away. Then in verse 17, then said some of His disciples among themselves, what is this that He saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. Well, they need to be reminded of what Jesus has said in previous chapters of the book of John here that we've read. And this would be Him speaking to the disciples, to the apostles, as they were walking with Him. He was explaining to them that He's getting ready to leave. He's going to the cross. He's going to die. Well, they hadn't fully grasped the fact that He was going to die at this time. They could not understand completely. But you know, I believe that this is one reason that He mentioned the Holy Spirit back here. He says if He goes not away, the Holy Spirit could not come. In other words, the Holy Spirit could not teach the disciples or those people who knew Jesus as Savior, just as us today. If He did not go away, then people could not learn. They could not understand what God has for them because Jesus is not here to explain it to us. Jesus was getting ready to leave these people. He would not be there to explain the things of God to them. But I thank God today that we do have the Word of God. And this is Jesus speaking to us. And the Holy Spirit helps us to understand this as we get in to the Word of God. He would not be here. He told these disciples He's getting ready to go, but yet He would come again. We looked at this last time as we talked about the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord, not the rapture of the church, but the second coming of the Lord, how that He would come back. He would touch down on the Mount of Olives, according to the book of Zechariah. He would touch down at the Mount of Olives, touching this earth, and He would set up His thousand-year millennial reign on this earth. And then at the end would come the white throne judgment. Well, He tells these people just now they could not understand in John chapter 16, they could not understand exactly what He was saying. And once again, I believe that's the reason that He wanted them to know the Holy Spirit was coming. He would comfort them when He was gone, when Jesus was gone, and He would lead them into all truth. He would help them to understand what Jesus was saying here. In verse 18, it says, they said, therefore, what is this that He saith? A little while. We cannot tell what He saith. Well, they didn't know because they did not understand fully. But He wanted them to remember. If you go back and read, and you read in this chapter, He told them, He said, I'm going to bring these things back to your remembrance because I'm telling you these things now so that you will remember. There would come a time when they did remember what Jesus was saying to them, how that He was going and that He would come again. In verse 19, it says, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, ye shall see me? He said, Are you asking each other these things? You're asking someone else that doesn't know the answer either. And that's what he's saying to them here. You're talking among yourselves, but you don't know the answer yet. Verse 20, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Well, he's telling the people here that he does not come out and tell them this, but he's trying to let them understand that he is going to go to the cross, he is going to die, and there would be people who rejoiced over this. There would be people who were glad that he dies. Then he goes on to say that your sorrow shall be turned into joy. How would his dying be turned into joy for these people who were standing about listening to what he was saying at this time? Well, you've heard the saying, then comes the morning. There's night, and then comes the morning. Well, this is the night that he's speaking of, his crucifixion. People would rejoice because he was dead, but the disciples, they would be sad at his crucifixion. But then would come the morning when he would come out of the grave, and their joy would be full. Now, of course, we know that by reading and studying the scriptures that he came out of that grave, and some people did not believe. Some of his disciples did not believe right away. But as he walked on this earth after his crucifixion, more and more people saw him, and there was more of a testimony given of his resurrection as people recognized him as the one who had been crucified, and he was raised from the dead. He was crucified. He was buried. That is the night. And then he came out of the grave, and that's the morning. The light shone in darkness. Verse 21, A woman, when she is in travail, Jesus said, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. Now, this is something that we're taught in the Word of God. And go back to the book of Genesis, and you'll read how that a woman was to give birth, and that during this birth she would suffer, that there would be pain. And that's what he's saying here. A woman, when she is in travail, in labor as such, hath sorrow because her hour is come. In other words, she's suffering now, her hour is come, where she should bring forth a child. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. Joy overshadows sorrow. And these people were being told here that they will be in sorrow for a period of time, but then they're going to be so joyful that the pain that they have suffered by seeing their Savior, their Lord, die on the cross, those things that they had seen him suffering with, that would be turned into joy because he would be resurrected from the dead. They would remember, they would not remember the suffering. Although they did remember the suffering, but it was turned into joy because they knew that Jesus was alive. Verse 22, And you know there, you now therefore have sorrow. It says, You're having sorrow because I'm getting ready to go away, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Well, we look at Jesus as coming in his second coming, but you see, these people, I would like to say that they were just a little more privileged than we are because they had walked with the Lord. They had seen him personally, physically. And then after his death and resurrection, we see that he actually appeared to these people and they got to see him again. They got to see him in his glorified body as he walked this earth. And their joy became even more joyful as they saw the Lord once again and risen from the grave. Let's read verse 22 again. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I also liken this to a person who walks this earth, a person who is a saved person, and there comes a time when the breath of life leaves their body. Now, we can't You know, when that happens, we don't see people anymore because the breath of life is gone, our eyes is closed in death. But I believe that the moment that a person leaves this life, when that breath of life leaves, I believe they go immediately into the presence of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when our heart is going to rejoice. You see, these people, they saw Jesus after his resurrection. We're going to see him after our body is changed, after our body, after our soul, the real person leaves this body. We're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ personally, and we're going to rejoice just as these people did after they saw the resurrection of the Lord. Verse 22 again, "And ye now therefore have sorrow." He's getting ready to go away. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die. He says, "But I will see you again." This is a promise of God. "And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Let not your heart be troubled." He's saying here in so many words, let not your heart be troubled. "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am," he says, "I'm going away, but where I am, there ye may be also." So we're going to go together with him. We're going to be with him in the eternity that he has provided for us, the eternity of bliss that no man, no one can take from us because we have eternal life. And that's a promise of God. Our sorrow may be much today as we walk this earth. I don't know what you're going through. You may be having a difficult time. You may be on top of the world. I don't know. But whatever you're going through, remember, Jesus is coming. He's coming for us either when this breath leaves our body, and I'm speaking to saved people, when this breath leaves our body to be in the presence of the Lord, or if he comes back in the clouds and says, "Come up hither," then we're going to be with him. And our joy then will be full because we're going to be with our Savior who died for us, was buried for us, and rose from the grave that we could have eternal life. Well, notice verse 23 now, John chapter 16. "And in that day," he's going on now, and he's continuing on about their joy. "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." He says, now, I'm getting ready to go, and you won't be able to ask me anything once I'm gone, once I've gone back to the Father. "But whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Well, that's the reason that we, when we pray, and we end our prayer, many times we say, "In Jesus' name." We're observing what Jesus said. We're praying in his name. And let me get ahead of myself a little bit here and say that the Holy Spirit takes our petition, the prayer that we have, takes it to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ takes it to the Father. And we say in Jesus' name because, you see, in myself, I have no power but of God that gives it to me through Jesus Christ. That power is all of Jesus Christ. I have no power within myself except through Jesus Christ. And that's the reason when I pray and I end that prayer, I say, "In Jesus' name." And I pray today in Jesus' name that you know him as your Savior. If not, ask him to save you. And I pray in Jesus' name that if you do know him, that you're serving him, living for him, and doing the things that he would have you to do as a saved person.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.